Welcome. This is Sunday, February 6th, 2022. Our scriptures this week are from Psalms 138, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Our sermon scripture is from Luke 5, 1 through 11. And our message this week is Fishers of Men. So if you would please open your Bibles and read with me in Psalms 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart before the gods. I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I call, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Paul writes, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then I was, I or they, this is what we preached, and this is what you believed." And our final reading today comes from Luke 5, 1 through 11. It's the calling of the first disciples. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Well, he got into one of those boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water, and let down the nets for a catch." Well, Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Well, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Well, then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, this is the word of God. for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, our gospel lesson is a fish story to write home about. It starts out with Jesus being pursued by a curious crowd, folks who have heard about this amazing man, his healing miracles, casting out demons, and all were anxious to hear what he had to say. So they press close, as the text says, listening to the word of God. Well, it's my prayer today. That is why many of you have come here today. So Luke tells us that Simon Peter, James, and John are washing their nets from a bad night of fishing. And when Jesus comes along with this curious crowd, closer and closer to the water's edge they come, finally prompting Jesus to climb into a beach fishing boat belonging to an acquaintance named Simon, who we come to know as Peter, whose mother-in-law Jesus had recently healed. Well, earlier in chapter 4, Luke tells us that Jesus went down to Capernaum, to a town in Galilee, and began to teach the people. He then tells us, while in the synagogue, Jesus healed a man of demon possession. And then in verses 36 and 37, we read, "All the people were amazed and said to each other, 'What is this teaching?' Well, with authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area." I'm quite certain that when Jesus left the synagogue, a crowd began to follow him. Then we're not told why Jesus went to the home of Simon Peter. Maybe Simon had made a request of Jesus to dine and spend the night with him or to help his mother-in-law while at the synagogue. But we do know that when he arrived, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and Jesus not only healed her, but many others also. We learned also that Jesus, in an attempt to avoid the crowds, left Simon's house at daybreak and went out to a solitary place, but the crowds kept pursuing him. We don't know how many times this sort of thing happened, because at the end of chapter 4, Luke tells us he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. In our text today, in Luke 5, we can assume some days later, Jesus ends up at the shore of Lake Gennesaret with a crowd in tow, where he knows his uncle Zebedee and his crew would be fishing. Maybe he was trying to avoid the crowd again, but probably not. But that's what Simon might have been thinking. So when Jesus asked Simon to put out a little from shore, Simon was quick to agree. He had been quietly washing his nets, probably with his head angled to catch the words of Jesus, thinking those words may be all he catches today. After all, he and his partners had been out fishing all night and had caught nothing but an occasional nap. So Jesus climbs in, and Simon pushes off, and the teaching continues. When the teaching is finished, Jesus says to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Well, can you imagine the look on Simon's face? Here's a carpenter telling the Zebedee fish market crew how to catch fish. Besides, they've been fishing all night, which is the time to fish, and the best fishing is in shallow water. Well, I'm sure he's expecting to hear that painful question, if he resists, that people always pose to the fishermen. "Have you caught anything?" Well, it's no wonder Simon Peter is less than enthusiastic in his obedience, as we read in verse 5. "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Of course, you know the rest of the story. They catch so many fish that their nets begin to break, and they have to call for help. So I'm not going to try to explain the miracle. I only invite you to embrace this message. Is there anyone here who hasn't listened to a story from a fisherman or asked for the secret of how to catch fish? So let me share with you a couple I recently read. The two guys go on a fishing trip. They rent all the equipment, the reels, the rods, the wading boots, the rowboat, the car, and even a cabin in the woods. And they spend a fortune. The first day they go fishing, they don't catch a thing. And the same thing happens on the second day and on the third day. And it goes on like this until finally, on the last day of their vacation, one of the men finally catches a fish. Well, as they drove home, they are both really depressed. So one turns to the other and says, "Do you realize that this one lousy fish we caught cost us $1,500? "Wow," says the other guy, "it's a good thing we didn't catch any more." So here's the other story. A cold winter day, an old man walks out into a frozen lake, cut a hole in the ice, dropped in his fishing line, and waited patiently for a bite. Well, he was there for almost an hour without even a nibble. And when a young boy walked out onto the ice, he cut a hole in the ice next to him. The lad drops his fishing line, and minutes later, he hooked a largemouth bass. Well, the old man couldn't believe his eyes. He chalked it up to plain luck. Well, shortly thereafter, the boy pulled in another large catch. He kept catching fish after fish, and finally the old man couldn't take it any longer. "Son," he said, "I've been here for over an hour without even a nibble. And you've been here only a few minutes and have caught a half dozen fish. How do you do it?" And the boy responded, "Roo-rab-roo-reba-run-run." "What's that?" the old man asked. And again the boy responded, "Roo-rab-roo-reba-run-run." "Look," said the old man, "I can't understand a word you're saying." The boy leaned over, brought his hands to his mouth, and spat out a mess of bait. He said again, "You have to keep the worms warm." Well, we laugh at these stories, but they may help us in understanding our gospel lesson today. We have no clue how long the preaching and teaching continues, but for a while we expect. Finally, it's over. Simon and his mates are ready to get home for some shut-eye in preparation for another night's work. After all, nighttime, especially the early morning hours before dawn, is best for fishing, even if the last night was not so good. Instead, Jesus says, "Put out into deep water, let down the nets for a catch." "Do what?" Simon thinks to himself. "This is not a time for fishing, and the fish are not biting today anyway. Besides, this Jesus might be special in some things, but he's a carpenter, not a fisherman. Let's go home." Yet something about this Jesus overcomes the reluctance. "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." In Luke 5:5. Well, he gestures to his partners, James and John, and together they sail the two boats out from shore. The catch is humongous. It's too big for one boat, and even for two boats together. So many flopping, slippery fish that boats are in danger of going under. So Simon has never seen anything like it. Unable to contain his emotion, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Well, Simon Peter recognizes this Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. Well, I'm sure with a smile on his face, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So in conclusion, we're told, so they pulled up their boats upon the shore and left everything and followed him. But which is more the miracle here, the incredible catch of fish or the incredible catch of these men? They drop it all, give it all up. Their business, their home, their way of life, and if tradition is correct, their very lives themselves. All to follow Jesus, to catch men, to be fishers of men. And down through two millennia of Christian history, that is how every generation of followers of Jesus have understood our calling, to be fishers of men. The word for that is evangelism, a word that makes many Christians turn pale and start doubting themselves. So if we think with the mindset of fishing, there are several ways to interpret that phrase, fishers of men. We could think of ourselves as the ones casting the nets. We spread the word far and wide in hopes that we will bring in another huge catch like the one that day at Lake Gennesaret. Or we could think of ourselves as the net. We are the instruments of the Lord uses to gather them in. So many times we're like the men in the fish story I told of the vacationing fishermen. We could spend a fortune on having all the right stuff, the most beautiful church, the best video and sound equipment, and it might attract a few and bring them to life in Christ. But I'm convinced that we best think of ourselves as bait. For God uses us as the bait and keeps us warm by his word. He breathes on his own so that all may come to know his saving grace. After all, the best way the lost, the dead in Christ are brought into the life of the church is by God using us as his bait. Many studies have been done to tell us that 4 out of 5 new church members say they decide to join because someone, a friend or a relative, first invited them. Like it or not, we are bait. The good news is that all the studies tell us that they are biting out there. They are biting, and if we expect to catch men, to be fishers of men, we need to be warm. So make sure you're warm. So how do we stay warm? The psalmist tells us we do that by praising God. Hear the psalmist's words again. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart, before the gods. I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Well, in other words, we keep ourselves warm by committing ourselves to the praise of God, bowing down to him, and doing what he asks of us. If we obey his word and pray for guidance, he will give us the courage to be bold and stout-hearted. Paul was bold and stout-hearted when he wrote to the believers in Corinth. Now, brothers, I want you to remind you of the gospel I preached to you when you received and on which you have taken your stand. For by this gospel you are saved, and if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. So when you leave here today, will you be bold and stout-hearted enough to say, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect? Will others see the change in you? Will you be warm in your praising God and clear in speaking out of what they need to have life and have it to the full? When you come into the presence of God, what will your fish story be? Are you catching anything? In his service, this is Pastor Joe.